Good morning, church. Good to be in the house of the Lord with all the saints. Well, actually, we're not all here today, but with all of you, it's good to be with all of you. And God knew that we were all going to be here together today. He had this all planned out before we did. I'm like Jamie. I usually like to try to get things going on my sermon before Saturday, but it was Saturday evening until he gave me what he wanted me to share this morning. It goes right along with what he gave Jamie. I'm always amazed at how he does that, because we never talk to who's having devotions. We just allow God to do that. And I always allow him to give me a message. If I don't have anything, I'm probably going to get up here and tell you that he didn't give me anything today. So then what are we going to do? It hasn't happened yet, but it could. The thing that we want to do is allow him to do what he wants to do. Allow him to take charge and do. I've entitled our lesson today, Elroy, the God Who Sees Me. Jamie talked about sometimes we have difficult times and how he sees us through those times. We're going to be looking at some scriptures today that talk about that there are no circumstances in our lives that escape his fatherly awareness and care. He knows all of our thoughts and our feelings. He knows everything about us. He made us, each one unique in our own way. So if you would, pray with me, and then we'll get into the lesson today. Father, I thank you for our time together today. Lord, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you'll have your way today. Lord, that I won't get in your way, but that I'll allow you to move and do what you want to do today. Father, give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we're going to begin in Genesis. I was going to go to 139 Psalm, but we'll do that later. Let's go to Genesis 16 to begin with. This is the first place that Elroy is used in Scripture, and I've used this one before. It's the story of Hagar when she was running away from Sarai, as Sarah was jealous because Hagar had children and she didn't, and so she was mean to her and cruel, and so Hagar left. She just took her son Ishmael and left, went out into the wilderness. And let's begin in verse 11 of chapter 16. The angel of the Lord said to her, so the angel came to Hagar and asked her what she was doing. She said, I'm running away from Sarai. And so they said, then on verse 11 it says, the angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now with child, you'll have a son, you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. So she gave this name to the Lord, who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So, I've got a thing that Matt McGlock gave me. It's all the names of God, and Elroy is one of them. It's spelled R-O-I, but it's pronounced R-O-W, Roy, like we have a name, somebody that's named Roy. So Elroy, El means the strong one, and Roy is the God who sees me. So, he sees us. He knows what we're doing. He knows what each day is going to be like. Thank the Lord that He knows us that well. As Chloe can tell you, some of our days go better than others. We try to make every day a good day, but it's not always that way. And I'm sure some of you maybe have that same thing going on in your lives. Let's go over now to Psalms 139, if you would. This whole chapter is really good. I think probably I'll end up reading all of it to you. But it's just, it's talking about how God knows us. And it begins there in verse 1. It says, "O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Just imagine that for a minute. He knows when we sit, when we stand up, when we go out, when we come in. He knows all about us, doesn't he? "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven, oh, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So he has a book that he writes down each one of our lives. What we're going to be doing today, what we're going to be doing tomorrow. He knows how we'll respond to him already. I don't always respond the way I should. But the more time I spend with him, the more I'm able to act the way he wants me to. And I'm hoping that the things that he wrote in the book are going to get better as my life goes along. Verse 17 says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred from them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So as I said, this whole chapter, there's just so many awesome ways in here that the Lord knows us, that He sees us, that He understands us. In our Sunday school time, we've been learning about worship, and in the last few weeks, and how everything that we do is worship, not just when we praise, not just when we lift our hands, not just when we pray, but we're to have an attitude of worship about everything that we do, because He is in everything that we do. As we've seen here in 139, we see that He's in our thoughts. He sees what we're doing. He knows what we're going to do, because He said He wrote it down before we were born. Imagine that God knew what I was going to be like before I was even born. He knew you, each of you, that way as well. Isn't it amazing how we're all a little different? We're all unique, and yet we're all special to God. He loves us so much that He made each one of us unique. He made each one of us special. So He not only sees me, but He knows me, and He hears me as well. He hears when I call. Jesus knew the thoughts of those around Him, and it's demonstrating that He is Elroy. I want to go to Matthew chapter 22 now. There's a few places in the New Testament that I want to look at. Jesus illustrates or demonstrates here how He knows what people are thinking. He knows what they're going to do ahead of time. So if you would, turn with me to Matthew 22, verse 18. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." So they brought Him a denarius, and He asked them, "Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then He said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." So He knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking about before they even said anything. And then on over in Matthew in chapter 26, beginning with verse 21, it says, and this is just going right along with the devotions that Jamie used. I'm going to begin with verse 20. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, He said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." So He already knew that Judas had made plans to go out and betray Him. It says they were very sad, and began to say to Him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it was written, as it is written about Him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." So Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray Him even before it happened. And then on over in Luke, let's turn back to Luke chapter 5 now. 5, and we're going to begin with verse 21 in Luke chapter 5. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But they, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." So the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, were upset with him because he healed somebody on the Sabbath. So Jesus, knowing their thoughts, asked them, which is easier to do? Say, "You're forgiven," or to say, "Get up and walk"? It's amazing how many times in Scripture that sin or forgiveness is the point of healing. And how many times in our lives has that been the case, where when we're willing to forgive, healing comes. In a relationship, sometimes it's physical. Sometimes unforgiveness will cause physical ailments. So it's just important that we learn to forgive, that we forgive when someone does something against us. So he knows what's going on in our lives all the time. Every day, no matter what part of the day it is. So he can help us with whatever trouble or whatever problem that arises. Elroy sees you today. And as I was preparing, he took me back to the beginning of this first purpose-driven life, and I hadn't even noticed this poem before until last evening as I was getting ready for today. And it's under the title "You're Not an Accident" on page 29 in your purpose-driven life books. It says, the message paraphrase of Romans 12:3 says, "The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us." This poem by Russell Kelfer sums it up. It says, "You are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You're a precious and perfect, unique design, called God's special woman or man. You look like you look for a reason. Our God made no mistake. He knit you together within the womb. You're just what He wanted to make. The parents you had were the ones He chose. And no matter how you feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind. And they bear the Master's seal. No, that trauma you faced was not easy, and God wept that it hurt you so. But it was allowed to shape your heart, so that into His likeness you'd grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the Master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God." So we're all made differently because of God. He made each one of us differently. And the part about the trauma there that faced you wasn't easy, I had to think of my life in that. As most of you know, I was in a terrible motorcycle accident when I was 19 years old. And was laid up for quite a long time. But during that time, I developed a fat embolism on my torso. I had little spots all over my torso. I didn't know what it was, and I can still remember the doctor telling my mother that he has a fat embolism, and it's something that we don't have any control over. He has 50-50 chance to live, and there's nothing that we can do to change it. So I remember telling the Lord after that day, after Mom had left and the doctor had left. And so I told the Lord, I said, if you'll spare my life, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. I hadn't been walking with the Lord as I should when I was a teenager. Most of you know I accepted the Lord when I was real young. I was 5 years old and I went up in the haymow by myself and just told the Lord that I wanted to serve him when I was 5 years old. And I can still remember that day like it was yesterday, because it was a monumental day in my life. I grew up in a Mennonite church, most of you know that. And as I then was so excited because I had accepted the Lord and was going to be his servant, and I ran in and told my parents, and they were so happy. And then we went and told the pastor, and well, I wasn't old enough to accept the Lord in the Mennonite church, so they disregarded it. They didn't encourage me at all in my walk with the Lord. So then when I was, I think, 11 or 12 years old, I was able to finally go through a class and accept the Lord as my Savior at that time in the Mennonite church. But I already knew that I was saved because of that special day that I had with the Lord. But then as I walked with, as a teenager, I got away from doing everything that God wanted me to do, and I was going my own way. And that's when Patsy and I met, and she got me straightened back out, because this was her first year as a godly woman. She had not accepted the Lord until she was 18. And I realized, hey, here's a woman who loves the Lord, and she's only been a Christian a little while, and I've known the Lord for years, and I haven't been walking with him. And so I then straightened my life out, but it took that hard accident to really know that I need to be wholeheartedly serving the Lord. So that's when I did begin to walk wholeheartedly with him, and have been growing and growing since then. You don't get from being a child to an adult in just a day. Even in our spiritual lives, it takes time to mature and to become the men and women that God wants us to be. So just remember this week as you go and share your life with others and do the things that you do through the week. God sees what you're doing. If he knows who you are, he made you the way you are, and he loves you the way you are. So enjoy your week this week. Praise team's going to come sing a final song. I'll be here to pray with you. If any of you need prayer, come and we'll share in that time.